Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing grab bags, so I picked the movie Pale Rider, my 1985, and we're doing MacGyver 2016, Season 1, Episode 1. And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Preston. So here's the description for Pale Rider, 1985. A mysterious preacher protects a humble prospector village from a greedy mining company trying to encroach on their land. So I'm going to give this movie straight out a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
I first saw this movie in the early 90s and have kind of loved it ever since. So what about you, James?
Yeah, I go with a 4 out of 5. This is actually one of my first Clint Eastwood westerns that I ever watched.
Ryan?
Wow, I get to be this guy, huh? Mm-hmm. Two and a half? 5?
Nice.
5? Fuck, I wish I was sitting there, because sometimes I just wish you could...
Slap?
Only if you went, nyeh, afterwards. So here's the reason why I love this movie. One is the fact Clint Eastwood's character doesn't really have a backstory. I mean, they allude to it, they show signs of it, but he's kind of a somewhat of a mysterious stranger riding on a pale horse.
Oh, that's new for Clint Eastwood.
Well, yes, no, I don't disagree. But it's also the new twist on this of them reading Revelation, the four horsemen at the beginning, kind of alluding to what he might be. Also the fact that Clint Eastwood himself has not really given a whole lot of information about this character, which is something, you know, a lot of people after the fact go, oh, he was this guy. He has never done that.
The Revelations.
Revelation.
Thing, that's a twist for this movie.
No, I just like how they, I like, I really like how romance. I really like how they framed that, though. You know, there's also, you know, we'll keep going. Well, I'm not disagreeing. I still liked it, though. So, you know, but before we get...
Is that all you got?
Well, I don't want to give everything away. I'm going to...
No, I thought that's what the point was.
No, I'm saving more for discussions. I'm going to save some ammo.
All right. You know, for me, like I said, this is one of the first Clint Eastwood westerns I was ever introduced to. I didn't watch it in the 90s. I watched it before that. But... You know, it was just that, for me, it was a new thing as a kid. So there is some nostalgia along with this one. But still, I can't really go much higher on it because there's a lot of stuff that, as Ryan said, been done before.
I will have to add, I am giving an extra point for the entertainment factor on one particular scene.
Okay, you talking about the nut scene?
No, I'm going to bring it up later.
All right.
Ryan?
Okay. I mean, there's a kind of a lot to unpack with this movie. This is well after he had done all of his sort of Sergio Leone movies.
15 years later.
Yeah, something like that. Now, I can't remember the first Western I saw, but when I was about like 10 or 11, my dad was smart enough to throw me onto Sergio Leone. And I think Fistful of Dollars might have been his first pick, which that to me is the Man with No Name trilogy. Okay. This movie, it was like, obviously Clint Eastwood directed this movie and it was well after, you know, all of these things had happened. So you can see him trying to, you know, kind of take what he had learned from Sergio Leone and kind of revive sort of the Man with No Name, character, but it was slightly different. It did not have the same kind of
cohesion,
any kind of the aesthetic appeal. The nuts and bolts of the kind of story that Sergio Leone was amazing at telling.
See, I never thought this was an extension of the Man with No Name series.
Dude, what?
Here's the reason why. I mean, you could tell he's trying, but I never thought it was for a couple of reasons. This movie has a completely different feel than any other ones.
He's playing the same character.
Oh, yeah, but I never thought it was supposed to be that, you know,
Blondie is a better name than Preacher.
Yes. No, I don't disagree, sure. But I still, to me, this movie is...
This was... In addition to The Man with No Name.
See, I disagree. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I know it's supposed to be, but I still disagree.
Well, okay, whatever. That's your opinion.
that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, basically, Clint Eastwood seemed like he was trying to make himself cool as shit, like he usually is. And let's be honest, Clint Eastwood in you know, any of the old school game trilogy, shit, High Plains Drifter, I could definitely go on this list, blanking on a lot of them, but was the coolest guy of all time, you know? And he was trying to make himself look extra cool in this movie, and he did, and sort of at the expense of everybody else.
I definitely agree. He kind of made himself the obvious hero, but
everything else seemed a little clunky.
The drawback on this to me is the bad guys. You didn't hate them. You mean? Well, like, none of the bad guys in this movie you really hated. You're just like, wow, those guys are a bunch of dicks. That's the one part.
I kind
of
liked Chris Penn up until he tried to rape the poor girl.
See, I didn't.
No. He's always a whiny. Yeah, my daddy gets here.
You see, I always thought the bad guys in this movie, you don't hate them. I mean, the rape scene adds a little bit, but to me, they're a little thin. I mean, honestly, there was Jaws.
They're a little non-present. They're a little sort of like a generic bad guy without a voice.
And then you have Jaws, who
might as well be the Foot Clan.
Richard Kiel, who went by Club in this film.
Jaws. I was so happy to see that dude. I love that guy.
So one of the reasons I give this movie such a high rating is the ending scene. Period. It's one of my all-time favorite.
Writing
shootouts.
Away.
No, like the whole
praying?
The battle scene. Seriously? You know, the fighting scene. I love.
Okay, hold on a second. All of those guys died because they had spurs on.
Yes, but that was old timey. Apparently,
did Clint.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, I mean, you know, you're stalking somebody. I'm just saying, a pair of ninja slippers could have saved some lives.
Moccasins at the time,
right?
Okay, ninja whatever slippers. Moccasins.
That's right. Some Japanese dude suddenly appeared in the Old West, in the middle of nowhere in California, said, "Here, take these."
I'm sure there's a Chinese version, and there's some coolies hanging around.
I do, oh, dear God. Please, if you're going to get mad at somebody for what he just said, blame Ryan.
Ninjas are from Japan. Historically accurate term.
I know. I do. One of the reasons why I love this movie is the ending scene with his firearm, which, by the way, is an actual firearm. It is period correct.
Yep.
I love...
Same with the loading.
I love...
Although it was converted from cabin ball.
Yeah. I love the approach to it. I love that right there. To me, added an extra element with just the way he did it, even though you're unloading the cylinder, putting it back on, the bozo should have shot him. But I love the extra element to that, and the hunting scene and trying to get all the guys. The whole thing has always been one of my favorite shootouts.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. It had that moment. I prefer the one in Silverado myself, which is not that long after this movie, by the way.
And you also...
Oh, hold on. I wanted to bring this up. I was trying to remember. Okay, so the shootout in that town. How much did Kevin Costner in Open Range steal from this film for that?
Seriously.
Just putting that out there. Because the first time I saw Open Range and their big shootout, I'm like, well, that's from Pale Rider.
The only thing they're missing is a young Jeter.
Yeah.
okay, but those... so let me just throw something out there. If you are sort of loading your gun, right, and then somebody else points a gun right at you, don't then raise your gun towards them.
Yeah.
Just the entire room sitting there like with their guns like completely, you know, shells out of the thing, wheels sticking out of the side of the... And just not one of them says, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't turn my gun towards the guy who's currently pointing a gun at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That beginning of that scene's funny, too. He walks into that place, starts sipping on a cup of coffee.
And I then like to see guys leave right away.
Yeah.
As soon as he comes out, they're like, oh, I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that one scene from Jack Reacher. You know, the bar scene. I just that fight scene to me is worth the cost of entry, you know, the somewhat bad storytelling in certain aspects, because it's one of my favorites. I kind of like the one scene in Unforgiven better, when you just see him go nuts.
See, that's the thing, man, is out of so many fucking Clint Eastwood movies, you know, like I can't, this doesn't even compare, you know, to a top like six or seven list.
Honestly, I pretty much like all of his Westerns. I'd say almost all of them are, if not five out of fives, you know, really close. Because there's not a whole lot of bad ones. After, I do think Unforgiven was more of like an essay in Westerns. You pretty much had everything there.
Mm. Well, some of the movies basically almost invented, you know, the modern genre. You know, before that it was, you know, Roy Rogers and shit like that.
Well, yeah, no, a couple John Waynes as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but still, I mean, even those were, you know,
Well, John Waynes was still kind of the traditional Western when you had Clint Eastwood was more of an anti-hero. He was the bad guy you always wanted to win, which I think gave Westerns a new lease on life.
Well, he was the sort of the chaotic good. I mean, he's the Han Solo.
Yeah, well, we talked about this when we did one of his other ones about that, you know. He couldn't get financing in the States to do it, and that's why they're referred to as spaghetti Westerns. But this one was one where they actually didn't quite do it that well. And
yeah, no, this was definitely a Clint Eastwood adventure.
Yeah, this was Clint Eastwood doing his own thing. But, you know, I mean, there was some things I really liked. I mean, I liked Sydney Penney, who was Megan Wheeler. She was like my first movie crush. Because I really liked her, but then you got the whole pedophilia thing going on.
Nowadays. Like, I can't watch Adam's Family anymore because I had a crush on Christina Ricci.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. anyway.
Wow. Really? Sorry. Bad choice of words there, cowboy.
Right? Anyway.
Yeah, all I did was refer to 19th century unskilled workers as coolies.
But what I was going to say is, for me, the film...
It's all his fault.
This pacing was really strange for the Westerns that he had usually done.
I liked the pacing on this movie.
There was a lot of in-between bullshit that didn't need to be there.
It was definitely a little, like, jumpy at points, but I still... A
little House on the Prairie at some points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like my mama, don't you?
I do like it, though. The one scene, the whole thing I thought was weird, and it was out of middle of nowhere, was that James just alluded to, was the, I love him, you love him, yeah. Where and the other problem is there's no time reference for this. So if you actually watch it, it goes from one day you meet him to the next day you're ready to have his children. That to me was a fast jump.
Yeah. Well, she hated him.
Yeah, everything else was dead slow. Now, listen, I don't mean to talk an incredible amount of shit. I'm really just sort of reacting to Charney's five on this one. It's just bewilderment that I'm expressing.
It really comes down to loving the battle scene at the end. I love
loving this movie when you're like 10 years old.
Well, I really love how they slowed down the fight even more by the introduction of his weapon. I think it added a new twist to it. The stocking, I think, at least the time that I can remember, was a little bit different. You know, you showed a little bit strategy.
What weapon was that, by the way, that he was carrying?
I don't remember.
I didn't recognize it at all.
No, but it's an ag. It's based off a real. Right? It's based off an actual firearm that was break action like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking of.
Well, I mean, I've.
I don't remember.
I've seen similar versions of that. Of that loading mechanism.
I've seen it quite a bit, but yeah, I don't remember the actual model of it. I think it's a Navy or something.
So it's one of the reasons I like it. I just love how they slow down the fight. I love the introduction to strategy, which has always been kind of a Clint Eastwood, but it's always something his movies do. I just, the whole thing, it's to me, it's worth the cost of entry just for the battle scene, in my opinion.
It takes a long time to get around to him, though.
Yeah. But that's something I always said some of his movies were like that to me. It's like, I just want to see a fight scene, and then you got like 4 minutes of them staring at each other.
I was actually just kind of cool that, I mean, they were doing like a, I mean, it's a type of mining process you don't see too often, the sluicing. What that is when you can't actually, you know, dig into the mountain, you have to just blast water at these big giant hills and just sort of break it away sort of by quick erosion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, usually done kind of small time, but yeah, it's not a really well-known. Matter of fact, what's it called, placer. What that is sort of those sediments that are inside of that hill that are just too loose to get to otherwise. So Placerville got its name from those types of hills.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do
Nice.
like this movie, and it's like I said, I love the ending of it. So what do you think, James? What's your rating for it?
I don't know. I still have a question. What's moose piss worth?
I'm not touching that one or
As
drinking it.
much as the guy is paying for
So, but
it.
what do you know? Because
You
I'm
know,
sticking
I
with my
mean,
5 out of 5.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to give it a 4, but it would just be a point of nostalgic because honestly, like Ryan's been saying, you know, there's so many more westerns that he's done that are way better than this.
But see, but nostalgia should count as points if it makes you, you know, go
Oh,
back to.
man, but not me.
To me, it does. I've always been one of those guys, but on the other hand, I've always been out in the open. It
See,
because if it wasn't,
I
because it.
take my nostalgia with a grain of salt, though. You know, like
Don't
I
get.
couldn't, you know, defend certain movies.
Don't get me wrong. If I was watching Goonies, I'd probably not give it as good a rating if I saw it today
Man, but if
because
I
it.
look at it though, I
That's the
mean,
point. I mean, you'd kick your 10-year-old self's ass if you if when they said they loved that movie.
But I look at it this way. I mean, the five set of R's westerns for me would be Outlaw Josey Wales.
For
Unforgiven,
sure.
for a few dollars more,
But so what's your
you know.
revised
I mean, I
rating?
gotta keep it. I don't know. I think I've gotta go with like a 3.5,
Wow,
because I
okay.
mean, it really isn't that stand-up quality of what you look for in a Clint Eastwood
It
Western.
seems kind of like a cheap knockoff, doesn't it?
Yeah, at times, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna have to revise.
Bring it down the average.
4 to 5.
Got him
I
down a
love it.
point. So what
Look,
it is?
I give it a whole half a point just because of the boy band situation. I thought that shit was hilarious.
So what do you give it? You still stick to your 2.5?
Yeah, absolutely. Those dudes were wearing matching costumes, man. I can't give this much.
I wanted to talk more about that, but we're running out of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Is there a movie you'd love us to do? Please let us know. And the other thing is, we do have an audio podcast. You can check us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes. And more. And we did MacGyver 2016, Episode 1, Season 1. And since I'm the giant MacGyver fan, I'm
No,
going to go
nuh-uh.
first.
No, you are not. Okay.
No,
So
please.
I'm assuming Ryan didn't watch it, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Well,
No, don't be sorry. Please, don't be sorry.
Oh, I really wasn't. I actually was thinking about watching it before, and then I read the description and I was like, oh
No,
no.
you've got to watch it. This sucked. I'm in literally one of the biggest MacGyver
Oh
fans
shit!
out
No,
there.
no. Okay, I forfeit. John, go ahead. I was
This.
expecting him to like
Oh
this.
no. Don't get me wrong. I was legitimately excited for it. The number one annoying thing was the After Effects overlay of explaining what the fuck he was doing.
Oh my God!
That was
Yeah.
part of the fun of MacGyver was him. Sometimes he would narrate what he was doing, but only if it was necessary to the story. He'd just kind of mix shit and do things. Oh my God. But because of Mythbusters, you have to explain everything? And then you come up with a vague idea of where you got the Phoenix Foundation, which, by the way, is not canon according to the fucking original movie TV show, which, by the way, didn't have a canon to begin
Wait,
with
wait,
because it
wait.
jumped so much.
There's canon for MacGyver?
Yeah,
Yes, believe it or not, there is. The
Wow,
problem,
I love the fan club.
the problem
Oh
with
my
the
God.
MacGyver TV show in the 80s, like 99% of all TV shows in the 80s, they didn't stick to their story. So MacGyver's backstory jumped around a little bit depending on which season and which episode you were watching. This sucked. And you had the dude from CSI.
Oh yeah.
Seriously.
Nick Stokes.
So you had a character who was pretty much alone, the lone wolf type of character who didn't need anybody, but apparently he needs a roid rage handler.
Dude, he is not that roided, man.
But
He
you
is
know what I
not
mean. He
ripped,
just
dude. He's
you.
got moves.
Well, you had MacGyver who was skinny.
Sorry, Nick, but you
Well,
do.
you had MacGyver who was skinny, and this dude who's obviously big. There's no fucking hand. I'm sorry. I'm gonna watch a couple of more episodes, but no,
Wow.
this is nostalgia. This is paying for nostalgia because I loved MacGyver the TV show, but watch Richard Dean Anderson. This new kid sucks.
So my whole thing is like you were saying, where he's narrated and everything. For me, it was just like, I get it. You're MacGyver. And that's really what it came up to me. And I got really bored with it. The comic relief was Nick Stokes.
Right.
With really cheesy and lame lines.
Wait, hold on.
Really bad.
Another question. Why do you have to introduce MacGyver? Is there nobody who's never seen it?
Or knows
it's
somebody?
On cable at least a couple of dozen times a day.
The other thing, the CGI, really unnecessary.
Unpoured. There was one CGI explosion that literally looked truck. Like.
That, oh my god!
It looked like it was a stock effect.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it. If you watch it, don't expect good because you won't find it there.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
James, what's don't waste your time. Next week's your pick? So what are you
so,
picking?
So you know we've already done Equilibrium, right?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Sure. I don't remember if we did. But, you know, so that one was one of the things that sold me about Christian Bale playing Batman. So we're doing the other film that was going to be his alter ego that sold me on it of Bruce Wayne. We're doing American Psycho.
Yeah, you do. Man, shit. You put those two movies together? Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah,
that was what sold me on Christian Bale being Batman.
Thank you for not picking The Machinist.
So... You know, this one for me, it was one that I didn't jump out to watch right off the bat, but I was pleasantly surprised when I watched it. I'm predicting a 4 out of 5 on it for me.
Awesome.
It's been at least a decade.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I sense a 4 on the way for that one also, though, because I think everyone was sort of pleasantly surprised.
So, yeah. Ladies, so hey, John, ladies and
are you?
I've never seen it.
So do you know about it?
I'm honestly reserving for judgment because I've heard good and bad, mainly bad. So this is something I'm waiting to see because I know a lot of people who thought this movie was disgusting. So,
Okay.
So ladies and gentlemen, I gave Pale Rider a 4 out of 5. James gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Next week is American Psycho. As always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.